Today is the ninth day of the month of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and I am grateful, deeply humbled and grateful to be here with you today as we gather and begin a new chapter, a brand new shiny week. There it is, sparkly before us, brand new, glistening, as it were. Ready to go. Nothing good, nothing bad has happened. We have to carry whatever we're carrying into it, but nothing has happened yet. And we always gather here before anything does happen, knowing that plenty of things are out of our control, but way more is within our capacity and control than we often imagine. We get to choose what posture we're going to carry forward and how that's going to look. We get to choose in advance how we're going to respond. Instead of just reacting, we have a choice. So we always gather at the beginning of a week, huddle up, look out over the horizon. For me, it's the rolling hills of Tennessee I'm looking out my window at. Whatever it is for you. It is for you and your context, but we are here together, looking out over the horizon together. And may we seek wisdom first and foremost at every crossroads. That will make the difference in what this week looks like. And so glad to be here with you, grateful to be here with you, eager to take the next steps forward together with you. So let's jump in. We got the brand new week here. And so we will read from the New Living Translation this week, picking up our story in the book of Ezra today, chapter 8, verse 21 through 9, verse 15. And there by the Ahava Canal, I gave orders for all of us to fast and humble ourselves before our God. We prayed that He would give us a safe journey and protect us, our children, and our goods as we traveled. For I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to accompany us and protect us from enemies along the way. After all, we had told the king our God's hand of protection is on all who worship Him, but His fierce anger rages against those who abandon Him. So we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us, and He heard our prayer. I appointed 12 leaders of the priests, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and 10 other priests, to be in charge of transporting the silver, the gold bowls, and the other items that the king, his council, his officials, and all the people of Israel had presented for the temple of God. I weighed the treasure as I gave it to them and found the totals to be as follows: 24 tons of silver, 7,500 pounds of silver articles, 7,500 pounds of gold, 20 gold bowls equal in value to 1,000 gold coins, 2 fine articles of polished bronze as precious as gold. And I said to these priests, "You and these treasures have been set apart as holy to the Lord. This silver and gold is a voluntary offering to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. Guard these treasures well until you present them to the leading priests, the Levites, and the leaders of Israel, who will weigh them at the storerooms of the Lord's temple in Jerusalem." So the priests and the Levites accepted the task of transporting these treasures of silver and gold to the temple of our God in Jerusalem. We broke camp at the Ahava Canal on April 19th and started off to Jerusalem. And the gracious hand of our God protected us and saved us from enemies and bandits along the way. So we arrived safely in Jerusalem, where we rested for 3 days. On the fourth day, after our arrival, the silver, gold, and other valuables were weighed at the temple of our God and entrusted to Meremoth, son of Uriah the priest, and to Eleazar, son of Phinehas, along with Jozabad, son of Jeshua, and Noadiah, son of Binui, both of whom were Levites. Everything was accounted for by number and weight, and the total weight was officially recorded. Then the exiles who had come out of captivity sacrificed burnt offerings to the God of Israel. They presented 12 bulls for all the people of Israel, as well as 96 rams and 77 male lambs. They also offered 12 male goats as a sin offering. All this was given as a burnt offering to the Lord. The king's decrees were delivered to his highest officers and the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, who then cooperated by supporting the people and the temple of God. When these things had been done, the Jewish leaders came to me and said, "Many of the people of Israel, and even some of the priests and Levites, have not kept themselves separate from the other peoples living in the land. They have taken up the detestable practices of the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, Egyptians, and Amorites. For the men of Israel have married women from these people and have taken them as wives for their sons. So the holy race has become polluted by these mixed marriages. Worse yet, the leaders and officials have led the way in this outrage." When I heard this, I tore my cloak and my shirt, pulled hair from my head and beard, and sat down utterly shocked. Then all who trembled at the words of the God of Israel came and sat with me because of this outrage committed by the returned exiles. And I sat there utterly appalled until the time of the evening sacrifice. At the time of the sacrifice, I stood up from where I had sat in mourning, with my clothes torn. I fell to my knees and lifted my hands to the Lord my God. I prayed, "Oh my God, I am utterly ashamed. I blush to lift my face to you, for our sins are piled higher than our heads, and our guilt has reached to the heavens. From the days of our ancestors until now, we have been steeped in sin. That is why we and our kings and our priests have been at the mercy of the pagan kings of the land. We have been killed, captured, robbed, and disgraced, just as we are today. But now we have been given a brief moment of grace, for the Lord our God has allowed a few of us to survive as a remnant. He has given us security in his holy place. Our God has brightened our eyes and granted us some relief from our slavery, for we were slaves. But in his unfailing love, our God did not abandon us in our slavery. Instead, he caused the kings of Persia to treat us favorably. He revived us so we could rebuild the temple of our God and repair its ruins. He has given us a protective wall in Judah and Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what can we say after all of this? For once again we have abandoned your commands. Your servants, the prophets, warned us when they said, 'The land you are entering to possess is totally defiled by the detestable practices of the people living there. From one end to the other, the land is filled with corruption. Don't let your daughters marry their sons. Don't take their daughters as wives for your sons. Don't ever promote the peace and prosperity of those nations. If you follow these instructions, you will be strong and will enjoy the good things the land produces, and you will leave this prosperity to your children forever. Now we are being punished because of our wickedness and our great guilt, but we have actually been punished far less than we deserve. For you, our God, have allowed some of us to survive as a remnant. But even so, we are again breaking your commands and intermarrying with people who do these detestable things. Won't your anger be enough to destroy us, so that even this little remnant no longer survives? O Lord, God of Israel, you are just. We come before you in our guilt as nothing but an escaped remnant, though in such a condition none of us can stand in your presence. First Corinthians 5. I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you, something that even pagans don't do. I am told that a man in your church is living in sin with his stepmother. You are so proud of yourselves, but you should be mourning in sorrow and shame. And you should remove this man from your fellowship. Even though I am not with you in person, I am with you in the spirit. And as though I were there, I have already passed judgment on this man in the name of the Lord Jesus. You must call a meeting of the church. I will be present with you in spirit, and so will the power of our Lord Jesus. And you must throw this man out and hand him over to Satan so that his sinful nature will be destroyed. And he himself will be saved on the day the Lord returns. Your boasting about this is terrible. Don't you realize that this sin is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast by removing this wicked person from among you. Then you will be like a fresh batch of dough made without yeast, which is what you really are. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us, so let us celebrate the festival, not with the old bread of wickedness and evil, but with the new bread of sincerity and truth. When I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin, but I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin or are greedy or cheat people or worship idols. You would have to leave this world to avoid people like that. I meant that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer, yet indulges in sexual sin, or is greedy, or worships idols, or is abusive, or is a drunkard, or cheats people. Don't even eat with such people. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. God will judge those on the outside. But as the scriptures say, you must remove the evil person from among you. Psalm 31, 1 through 8. For the choir director, a Psalm of David. O Lord, I have come to you for protection. Don't let me be disgraced. Save me, for you do what is right. Turn your ear to listen to me. Rescue me quickly. Be my rock of protection, a fortress where I will be safe. You are my rock and my fortress. For the honor of your name, lead me out of this danger. Pull me from the trap my enemies set for me, for I find protection in you alone. I entrust my spirit into your hand. Rescue me, Lord, for you are a faithful God. I hate those who worship worthless idols. I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your unfailing love, for you have seen my troubles, and you care about the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to my enemies, but have set me in a safe place. Proverbs 21, 1 and 2. The king's heart is like a stream of water directed by the Lord. He guides it wherever he pleases. People may be right in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their heart. Father, we thank you for your word. Another week is upon us. We thank you for that. We invite your Holy Spirit into it. And wow, indeed, people may be right in their own eyes. And aren't we all? You must look upon us and see how right we think we are. But you examine our heart. Nothing is hidden from you. And we can fight for our rights. We can fight for our wrongs. We can fight over our wounds. We can fight over anything and create these divisions and distinctions about how right we are, and then convince ourselves we're a silly kind of species that way. We can lie to ourselves and then believe it. You examine our hearts. You can go underneath it all and reveal it all. And so, Holy Spirit, as we always do, we ask you to lead us into all truth. And so much of the time that begins with us, lead us into all truth about ourselves, that we might get very honest with ourselves about ourselves, because nothing is hidden from you. And we want to walk in the truth. Holy Spirit, come into this week as we walk it out. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Hello, Dab family. This is Misty from the beautiful state of West Virginia. I was a first-time caller. I called a couple weeks ago about my mom that was going to have surgery on her carotid artery. I have a praise report. Everything went well. She got through surgery, recovered very well in ICU, is home now resting. And I just want to call back in and praise God for his mercies and for keeping her safe and getting her through that surgery. Lord, I pray for her salvation. She's not saved, and I just pray that this leads her to you. I want to pray for the caller from today, August 2nd, from Michigan. You sound extremely defeated, and it just touched my heart, and I'm praying for you. You said you had no friends or family, and I just want you to know that you do have God, your Lord Jesus Christ, Savior, and he can provide peace when you think you don't have any. And I'm praying for you. I just wanted you to know that. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. It's Christy in Kentucky. First, I want to thank Jamie in New Jersey for being such a powerful prayer warrior in our community. Thank you, Jamie. You are so appreciated. I also wanted to pray for Dior, whose son and wife and grandchild are going into the ministry. And of course, you know, when we go to fulfill the purpose of God, the enemy tries his best to attack us. But I declare in the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against this family shall prosper. Father, we thank you that their ministry will be strong and that they will continue to spread the gospel to people who need you desperately. I want to pray for Mary, whose brother is an alcoholic, and to a sister-in-law has been diagnosed with stage 4 in her lymph nodes. Father, we praise you and love you and know that you love this couple. And Father, they need you desperately. Please send someone to them, Father, to speak life, your life, into their lives, and that they may be saved and that they may be healed in Jesus' name. I want to pray for the gentleman who called in who said his girlfriend lost a child. Father, we ask that you touch this woman and heal her heart, Father. Be with her in her grief journey. And also, hands to heaven, I just want to thank you so much for the what you read today about grief. That is so true. And as I listened to it, I realized that I just hit the ground running and I haven't really stopped. And so lately,
Hi, family. This is We're Such a Kind as This. My husband has been home for 3 days now. There's still a lot of issues. So continue to pray for him. I just got word that September 13th, which is my birthday, is the day that I have to return to work. And I am honestly still in quite a bit of severe pain. Not getting around very well except with a walker, and I have to walk all over the hospital, so I need healing. And I don't know, the down the other day, it was just like, God, why has so many healings happened around me but not for me? And then Psalm 22 came on and I felt guilty for feeling that way. So anyway, God bless you all, and thank you for all of the prayers. Continue them coming. I love you all. Bye.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. It's Chris in Tulsa, and I wanted to ask for some prayer for a good high school friend. His name's Rick. He's about to go through a battle with some kidney issues and dialysis that he has to start. They expect that he's going to have a transplant at some point. So I'm just asking for our DAB family to come together in prayer of agreement that Rick will receive healing and wholeness from the Lord. Nothing broken, nothing missing. We know that God has all the power. He's capable and can do this. Really appreciate everybody's prayers. Hope all is well. Love y'all. Take care.
Hello, my sister. Peace and joy from Michigan. God bless you today. I pray that God just encourages your heart, will settle in your heart, and that you will feel the Holy Spirit all around you for those moments that are extremely hard to bear, that God will show himself strong in your life. And I do pray that he sends you a tangible friend that you can reach out to, that you can see if you need to put your head on their shoulder. As they put their hand on your shoulder, but you can just feel their presence. You can have tea together, have brunch. Don't have to talk, but somebody in your face, that always helps. And someone you can just call right there beside you. That you guys, even if you have to travel a couple hours or, you know, but someone there, God can help, just cover her. Give her strength. As you're already working it out and turning it in people's hearts to be right there with her, we say thank you. We thank you for those who haven't called in, who haven't mentioned it, and they're feeling the same way. Cover us all, God, that we will trust you and honor you and bless your name for all that is to come. We thank you for all that is happening right now, that you are giving us strength to get through, and all the things that you didn't let come to pass. Thank you, good Father. You're so kind to us, and we say thank you. God bless you, my sister.
Good morning, family. This is Tammy calling from the Central Coast of California. Today is August 2nd. So I called in for Diane Olive Brown to say thank you for your sweet words. Shalom, shalom. Nothing is missing. Nothing is broken. Thank you, sister. My heart just feels that love and that, just those words, a blessing over the community. So thank you. God Life Speaker, I'm just lifting you and your church family, Skylar's family, up to the Lord in prayer and just asking that he would just comfort you in this time of mourning. I want to thank you for always speaking life into our community. My friend, you're such a blessing to this community, and I'm so thankful that we have you. And I just feel like what a blessing it is to your church family that they have you speaking God's life into your church and your community. Eagle Eye Bruce, you were on my mind this morning, and so I just wanted to lift you up and pray that God is just surrounding you with people that might come around you and care for you and give you what you need, and that you would be lacking nothing at this time, that you feel the prayers of your community. I would like to request prayer for myself. I feel like my prayer life is struggling a bit, and that I'm not making the time necessary